Good morning and welcome to Freedom Rings. I am your host, Kenneth John. With me is my excellent producer, Mike. How you doing?
I'm not too bad for a Monday.
And we have a special co-host today who won the auction at the last Libertarian Party of Illinois' state convention.
Okay.
And in fact, the Libertarian Party of Illinois state chair, Val Vetter. How you doing, Val?
I'm doing good, Ken. And, you know, thanks for telling him I paid to be here. I appreciate that.
Well, this will be fun because we will be interviewing one of the candidates for President of the United States for the Libertarian Party, Mary Ruart.
That should be good. I'm very excited that Mary's entered the race.
It's going to be an exciting convention because you've got former U.S. Senator Mike Gravel, most likely former Congressman Bob Barr running, Wayne Allen Root of gambling fame, and now Mary Ruart, who's been a stalwart with the Libertarian Party for a long time. So it's going to be interesting, and this could be a watershed event, I think, for the Libertarian Party.
Well, I don't know about you, Ken, but you know, for me, Mary Ruart's probably one of the most well-known names in libertarianism, at least for as long as I've been involved, which, of course, is about a quarter of as long as you have. But
yeah, I'm an old man.
Well, you know, we're all both old men, but that's beside the point.
That makes me ancient.
Well, okay.
Not as old as 100 years, though. It's 100 years since the Cubs won the pennant.
Oh, okay. And Cubs, yeah, I've heard of them. They're like some kind of minor sports team in the city.
I had the opportunity of seeing the game yesterday. And I got to say, they won the way they're supposed to. They got me excited again. I'm back. I'm off the wagon. I'm off the Cubs Anonymous as a recovering Cub fan wagon.
It happens to all you Cubs fans in April. This is the year you're pretty
All he had
sure
to do
is
Soriano's throw a guy out at the plate.
That was
and
great.
And we had tickets. We were right in line with the first base line.
Okay.
I mean, from home, you know, looking at the first base line towards first base.
Uh-huh.
Just on the left side. And so I had a perfect view of Soriano's throw and the catch and the tag.
Right on the money, which absolutely.
That was the game right there, I
uh-huh.
think. Because that could have been a huge inning.
Of course.
And then, of course, Soriano finally gets out of his slump and hits a home run. And a towering drive by
Derek Lee. Yeah. I watched the game on TV, and I don't watch very many Cubs games, but
that was a great game.
I enjoyed it. It was great. It was, like you said, it was the way baseball is supposed to be played.
And Kerry Wood is throwing those 96-mile-an-hour fastballs now inside corner, unhittable.
Yeah, and I think he's going to be good to go because only a couple innings a day, maybe 2 days. He's not, like, starting a game
right.
every five, not throwing 115 pitches, keeping it down to about 20 pitches. Yeah, he's going to be
With him and Marmol, they could have the best setup man and closer man in the league, I think.
Yeah, I have to agree with you.
And Zambrano in there. I shouldn't be getting excited. You know, oh, stop me.
Cubs fans.
Stop me before I lose my sanity completely. But I'm kind of excited about them. They're only 500. Played only 500 ball, and I'm excited.
Well, that's
it
good,
doesn't
though.
Take much.
No. And usually they don't heat up until May anyway, normally.
I thought that was the stands don't heat up till May.
Oh, it was cold. We had like a half hour of sunlight.
That
and
was it,
in the
huh?
shade. And it was like a 40-degree difference between the sun and the shade yesterday.
Yep.
But it was great. All right, let's move on. Stupid regulation of the week in honor of interviewing Mary Ruart today. We're going to talk about her point of view that, and she, I should say that her background, she's a PhD in biophysics with a bachelor's in biochemistry. Worked at Upjohn Laboratories for 19 years. And actually has a patent or two. And it's her contention that the FDA regulations have killed somewhere between low estimate of 4.6 million people over the years to over 20 million people over the years. And in fact, one out of three people, she suggests that one out of three people who have died from diseases may have died because of the regulations. And these are the regulations I'm trying to look this up, Kefauver, I believe, 1962 regulation that really increased, here it is, 1962 Kefauver-Harris amendments to the FDA Act. And that was after the scare, created birth defects.
Thalidomide?
Thalidomide scare, thank you. And what Mary's saying is that all these regulations have increased, you know, from a few years to 14 years of research just to uphold the regulations, mm-hmm. and you only have 6 years left to recoup your patents, which is not enough. Increases the cost tremendously, increases the time, and meanwhile, all these people are dying who could be saved mm-hmm. by all these drugs being produced. And in fact, she had one that that would help liver conditions, and even though the FDA encouraged her to continue to get this on the market,
mm-hmm.
the cost got too much, and Upjohn dropped it.
Really?
So what we all need to understand is that there are all actions have consequences. And when you hear, well, we need this regulation to save lives, to do this and this and that, the other side of the coin, the other question that always has to be raised is, by enacting that regulation, are we actually doing more harm than good? How many people are we killing in the process?
Mm-hmm.
And that goes for any kind of action or inaction concerning politics, including global warming, which we talked about last week.
Global warming, okay. We're not going to open that box, right?
Oh, you don't know this program too well, Val.
No,
all we need is one mention of something, and the tangent just goes wild.
Right.
Mary will never make it on the air at that rate.
Well, along the same lines, kind of, sort of, to speak, I watched a special last week. I forget what day it was, but it was Barbara Walters.
Baba Wawa,
and she was doing a show about some of the stem cell research, and they've done studies with animals, cows in particular, and they're doubling the lifespan of a cow with some of these stem cells, and she says if FDA approved it, we can all live to be 150 or more.
Wow.
And I think one of the reasons that we're not living to be 150 because of this is maybe just afraid of the retirement age being 65. What are you going to do for the other 100 years of your life if you retired at 65?
I mean, I won't be playing bocce ball till I'm 140 years old?
I don't know what they want the senior citizens to do out there. And Barbara Walters, I almost said Baba Wawa again, she did mention the fact that our kids are going to grow up to live to be at least 130. Without the stem cell research, so
really,
yeah.
Well, that's interesting. We'll see.
Yeah, no, it's all. Well, we won't see. I don't think I'll be participating in that
unless John McCain drags us into some kind of world nuclear war.
Yeah, you know. Again, the politics play the hand.
That's the unfortunate part.
And as far as the global warming issue and stuff like that, we're just humans on this planet, and we're allowed to do whatever we can to live as long as we want. And I don't think it's unnatural for us to try to extend
our life. We're part of nature, the last time I checked.
Well, no, this is my anti-green speak, if you will. We have the right to live as long as we possibly can.
Yeah.
Whether it be with nature or against nature, I don't want to die. Let me live for another 100 years. I'll accept that. I don't care. You know, the consequences might be I have three heads one day, but, you know, so be it. So be it.
Probably the least of your problems, I think.
But as Ken said, it's a tangent.
That's okay. Tangents are allowed and acceptable on this program. All right, we are going to talk with Dr. Mary Ruart, who is a candidate for the nomination of President of the United States with the Libertarian Party. That convention will be in Denver on Memorial Day weekend, and it's going to be one very, very interesting convention. Phone number here is 847-931-1410. That's 931-1410. We will be back with Mary Ruart. That is a tongue tied.
It's a tough name.
Woo. The whole we will be back with Mary Ruart after a few messages.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings need your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bast, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings, and it's my pleasure and honor to welcome back to Freedom Rings, Dr. Mary Ruart. Mary, how are you?
Oh, I'm just fine. I'm delighted to be here.
Oh, and congratulations on your entering the race for president. This
well,
is going
you.
To be very exciting come Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, yes. This is going to be a convention to remember.
Yes. With me, aside of me, Mary, is Val Vedder, state chair of the Libertarian Party of Illinois. He won an auction our last state convention to co-host a program. So we chose this one today.
Wonderful.
So, Val, say hello.
Hey, Mary. It's good to be talking to you again.
Great to be talking to you.
And so we'll just be kind of a free-for-all today.
Sounds good.
Okay, well, Mary, why are you running for president?
Well, I'm running because I've had a lot of feedback from my supporters that they want another choice in Denver and that they want a choice, the kind of choice I represent. So I have finally thrown my hat into the ring, and I have just been so pleased with the outpouring of support that I've gotten. Many people come up to me at conventions and say, you know, I am going to Denver, and I wasn't going, but I'm going because you are going to be there. And I am back in the party. I'm active because you're coming in. So it's really heartening.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a lot of people running that I guess some people will question their libertarian credentials. Wayne Allen Root, I know, was four square for the war for a while at least. I think he's backing away a little bit from that. And you got interestingly, this may be a good thing for the Libertarian Party, although I don't think he's going to get too far, but just having a former U.S. Senator join the party and then enter the presidential race, that should be interesting. That's, you know, Senator Mike Gravel.
Yes, yes.
Although I don't know how his universal health care proposal is going to go over to the
well,
membership.
Can
yeah,
you say lead balloon?
That's an area I'm going to need to be chit-chatting with him because we've met, of course, at a couple conventions, and mm-hmm. he's a very personable guy, and he seems to be very intelligent. So I need to talk to him about this universal health care thing because, of course, universal health care means health care rationing. That means that when you're a senior and you go in, for example, for kidney dialysis, in Britain, you know, you have a 1 in 3 chance of getting it because they reserve those expensive treatments for the young people. So seniors are really going to be hurting if universal health care comes along.
That's one of those dirty little secrets that the people who promote universal health care don't seem to really want to admit, do they?
No, and you know, it's incredible because I grew up in Michigan and I have sisters who are working for doctor's offices and things up there, and they say that the Canadians are flocking over because they don't want to do the 2-year wait before getting their bypass surgery, which is a good thing because if they waited, they'd probably be dead.
Oh, the Canadians probably have more at stake here than the Americans do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where are they going to go?
Where is everybody in the world going to go to for prompt, excellent health care?
That's a very good question. Actually, the Indians are trying to create another mecca for medical care. They've got a lot of well-trained people over there, and they aren't as heavily regulated, and that's what's pushing the costs up here. You know, I actually did a calculation. I'm a pharmaceutical research scientist by profession, and I saw how the regulations were taking up all our time. We used to joke we didn't have any time to discover new drugs because we were too busy trying to fulfill all these regulations. And actually, about 80% of the current cost of our pharmaceuticals is due to regulations that actually make us less safe.
Oh, Mary,
that's
right.
That's outrageous. Yeah, we used your article in the LouRockwell.com on that as our stupid regulation of the week, as a
yes.
matter of fact.
Mary, I've actually seen an article about Americans retiring to Mexico saying how it actually was going to start to become a great option to go to Mexico for your health care now because it's very inexpensive there and they don't have the regulations we have here.
Mm-hmm. That could very well be because there's regulations at every step of the health care process. Doctors are spending something like 30% of their time filling out forms for the government, which is really crazy. And the problem is if they don't do it right, they can actually be prosecuted and thrown in jail. So it's really...
Mary, I know that people love to complain about the high cost of health care, and they love to complain about pharmaceutical companies getting rich, and they like to complain about HMOs. Could you... what's the story with that? Now, my understanding is HMOs were actually spawned by the government, and they're kind of foisted upon us as being something that's going to help us.
Yes, yes. They're kind of an intermediate step in universal health care. They were... actually, our tax dollars did go, in many cases, to help promote them and keep them in business. And, of course, they're kind of like the gatekeepers. You can't go to a specialist unless you go through your HMO. So this is one way to control access to specialists who generally charge more money and are going to be doing more expensive procedures.
And the folks in England are having trouble with their universal health care, aren't they, as well?
That's right. Actually, a lot of places are backing off. So as we're going towards universal health care, other countries that have it are backing off and allowing private insurance, private doctors. In other words, they're going back to the system we have. This should be a little signal for us that maybe universal health care is not what it's cracked up to be.
The politicians seem to be in this country seem to be the last to learn these lessons, unfortunately.
Yes. Well, that's, I think that goes back to central planning. Basically, we know central planning doesn't work. The Soviet Union collapsed because of it. And now we have politicians trying to central plan our health care. And, that's literally a matter of life and death. I don't know if your listeners are aware of this, but a number of cancer patients recently sued the government because they wanted access to drugs that were in development but weren't fully tested. They wanted to be able to take drugs that had been animal tested and had a little bit of testing in people and take them before they were actually shown to be effective because they can't wait the 15 years, which is kind of the average now of development time. So
do they have to lose?
Exactly. Well, exactly. And so they took it all the way up to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court refused to hear the case that let the lower ruling stand. And the lower ruling is that you have no right to try to save your life.
That's outrageous.
Unless the FDA approves the drug.
Well, so much for those wonderful Republican appointees. Do you know who voted for or against on that one? Or that's right. You say they wouldn't even take the case.
Right, the Supreme Court would not take the case.
And what does it take, 3 or 4 to bring cert? Certiorari to I'm trying to think of the
number. I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, at any rate, so there were certainly the new Bush appointees that the neocons they certainly didn't help out on that one, did they?
No, so, and I can tell you a personal story from my own research. We were developing a drug for AIDS in the company I was at, and we finally got the FDA's permission to test it in people. And then what we found is that every AIDS patient in the country who wanted it had already had it. because they had hired black market chemists to work on it, and they distributed it throughout the AIDS network. They did a fantastic job, actually, in terms of safety. But since everyone had had it, we had to wait till new cases were developed before we could actually test our drug in what we call naive patients.
The market is amazing. I wonder if the black market prices were lower than the actual official.
Yes, they were, actually, because, yes, really. It was mostly, my understanding is that they really charged a minimal amount of money, just enough to cover their costs, and I actually think in many cases they probably just gave the drug away.
All right, let's shift gears a little bit to a great concern of mine and millions of Americans, and of course that is this continual war in the Middle East. Your most recent book is Healing Our World in an Age of Aggression.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And boy, you talk about aggression, attacking a country without real any provocation. There's no threat to the United States at all from Iraq. And, well, it seems like we've really created a mess. So what would you do about it if you were elected president?
Well, the first thing I'd do is I'd try to bring our brave young men and women home safely. And I'd also bring our troops home from around the world. We shouldn't be having troops stationed in Japan and Europe. They need to be here in case we get attacked and need them to defend our borders. And, you know, this is so sad because it's like
it?
Another Vietnam over there in Iraq. And our young people have said they would lay their lives down for us. All they ask is that we don't put them in harm's way unnecessarily. And that's exactly what we've done.
Yeah, we sure have. And we send them back with three or four new tours of duty, longer terms of duty, and it's like the American government, the United States government, never plays with a straight deck when they deal with veterans. There's always a little sleight of hand involved, is what is expected of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, including National Guard troops too.
Sure.
Who never thought they were going to be.
Right, it's like surprise, you're going back, or you're going again, or whatever the case may be.
Yes, so that's actually, you know, going to be the subject of a movie called Stop Loss that's coming out shortly. I guess I haven't seen the coming attractions. I don't really know how the movie develops, but evidently many of our troops, when they think it's time to go home, find out that they're being essentially drafted again. And I guess this was the fine print in their contract, that they're drafted again and they can't come home after the tour of duty. It's sad. I think you know, people don't want to go over there. They don't think it's right. And the solution in Vietnam, of course, was to draft everybody. And since they don't want to bring back the draft, because then they'll really get an outcry from people who don't want their sons and daughters over there, they are instead taking the brave young men and women who have, you know, stepped up to the plate and volunteered, and they're, in my case, in my belief, they're abusing them by extending their contracts forcibly.
Yeah, absolutely. And when our military votes with their pocketbooks, we found that they overwhelmingly supported Ron Paul versus any other candidate, and the candidate who most vociferously has said, let's bring our troops home right away.
Mm-hmm. Well, and no wonder, because he's also been fighting for them to get the things the government promised them. We really treat our troops very badly.
Yes.
When you think about how much they're paid and how little they get for it.
Oh, unless you're working for some private neocon corporation there. The private soldiers, they get a lot of money.
Yes. And maybe that's the solution. We privatize the whole army, and then what ends up happening is our soldiers either get paid and we recognize the true cost of the war, and then maybe consider not having one.
Yeah.
Or what a concept.
Yeah.
And they get a chance to volunteer or not. You know, they don't have to go if they don't want to lay down their lives for that.
We're talking with Mary Ruhr, candidate for President of the United States, author of at least a couple of books, Healing Our World. What was the first addendum to that title?
Oh, The Other Piece of the Puzzle.
The Other Piece of the Puzzle,
yes.
And then Healing Our World in an Age of Aggression.
Right.
The phone number here is 847-931-1410. That's 931-1410. Have any questions, comments, observations, perspectives with Mary, please give us a call. We will be back after a few messages.
Mommy, why do we have a government?
There are lots of reasons, like to make sure we have soldiers to protect our country, to build our roads.
To give us all the things we need.
Well, no, they can't do that.
That's what I heard on TV.
Oh, that was probably just some politician trying to get people to vote for him. Our government is supposed to be limited by the Constitution. But those in government just ignore it. That's why our country is in such a mess.
Then why don't you and Daddy stop it?
Well, we'd like to, but we don't know how.
If you feel like the mother in this message, you are not alone. But there is something you can do. Join us at the next meeting of the Fox Valley Freedom Coalition, a diverse group of people like yourself who are fed up with the status quo. We meet at MT Barrels, 98 West Main Street, which is Route 72, just west of the Fox River in West Dundee, on the first Saturday of the month at 5 p.m. For more information, call Jarrett at 224-402-8148. That's 224-402-8148. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to your children.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator.
57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones. Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19th out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected
George W. Bush
as president
and re-elected him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public schools.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. John Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. John Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need software installed and configured? Call John. Want to learn word processing or Excel spreadsheets? Call John. John Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want to upgrade your computer? Call John. Need to build a wireless network? Call John. Call John Spazieri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazieri. Make him your go-to tech guy. I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its Constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
Hey, and welcome back to Freedom Rings with Kenneth John. I'm your co-host, Val Vetter, Chair of the Libertarian Party of Illinois, and our special guest on the phone is Mary Ruart, who just threw her hat in the ring for the Libertarian Party of the Libertarian Party presidential nomination, and she threw her hat in the ring on Good Friday, which is good for all of us. We're going to go back to the phones right now. We've got Trucker Tom on the line. Trucker Tom.
Yeah, I wanted to thank you for bringing your guest on today. It's appreciated.
on Saturday, Friday's program, Mike put the word out that Congressman Foster was going to be at the Elgin Larkin store, and sure enough, he was there. It may not pertain to your guest, but I will say that he was out there meeting the people. He had a great hour and a half in there, spent a longer time than he expected, and I support all the third parties, and I hope everyone who thinks about a third party or thinks that they're honest, if they look at their driver's license and say they're honest, well, vote for a third party, whatever the label is, because you're not going to get it out of the combine. And I thank you, ladies, for...
Tom, you know we do have a candidate. Dan Druck is running as a Libertarian. We need 14,000 signatures, so we need your help, buddy.
I just talked to Dan O about that, and I'm trying to tell him, I don't care what third-party affiliation you're going under, we all need to get the idea that we can't wrestle control from the combine unless we all cooperate, including the split and honest Republicans and the split and honest Democrats. So Dan Druck, D-R-U-C-K, I understand that, but I do want to give Foster his kudos for coming out and meeting the people. He told me he'd work with the honest guys there to crush the combine.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Tom. Mary, I don't know if you have a comment related to that or not.
Well, it's just exciting to see people getting recognizing that the Democrats and Republicans are not the answer. So it's just very exciting, and I appreciate Trucker Tom's comments. I'd also like to mention, for those who want more information about my campaign, that my campaign website is VoteMary2008.com. That's VoteMary2008.com.
You know, Mary, you have another website, too, that I've been going to for years. Is it MaryRuart.com?
It's Ruart.com.
Ruart.com.
R-U-W-A-R-T.com.
Yeah, easier to spell than to say sometimes. But
yes.
What I was going to say is that, you know, you've been writing for years, and you have the column, the short answers to tough questions, I think.
Yes.
And that's something I've referred to a lot of times. And I know you mentioned you've been approached a lot by your supporters about getting back in the race, and I think for years you've said that you know, what you're doing right now with the writing and the speaking is where you belong. What made you know what tipped the scale for you to get throw your hat back in the ring? I mean, I'm happy you did, but I'm kind of curious, you know,
yes,
what the magic words were that made you get back in.
Well, I think the magic words were actually more of a feeling than words. There was just a feeling among my supporters, and many of them came to me and said, you know, we just can't support any of these candidates. They have problems, each one of them. And as I actually watched them myself, I could see where they were coming from, and I had been hoping that somebody would catch fire and that somebody would inspire people and become a better candidate. And that didn't seem to be happening. Although I have to say that since I've gotten into the race and got to know everyone better, they're wonderful people. You know, I like them all. It's just that for whatever reason, they haven't caught fire. So that's why I threw my hat in the ring. And it was a difficult decision. I had not intended to do it. I do feel more comfortable writing than campaigning, but I've done a lot of campaigning. And if that's the way I need to serve, that's how I'll do it.
Now, as you know, Ron Paul really has... put a real shot in the arm for the movement of freedom in this
yes.
country. He's brought upon more media attention than I think all of our campaigns combined in the past, and has maybe started the renewed appreciation and movement towards liberty, a paradigm shift, if you will. There's rumors that he may endorse Bob Barr, Congressman Bob Barr, who apparently has opened an exploratory committee to run for president under the Libertarian banner. I'd like to hear your reaction to that.
Well, I was very surprised to hear that for a couple reasons. I know Dr. Paul. I've known him for years, since 88 when he got our presidential nomination. He's endorsed my book, Healing Our World. He wrote me a wonderful letter to President Bush when I applied for the FDA commissioner position, thinking that I may be able to do a de facto privatization of it. So I was very surprised because it's not Dr. Paul's normal policy to endorse candidates from other parties, other than in other words, he'll endorse Republican candidates if they're what we call Ron Paul Republicans, but he doesn't usually endorse people from other parties. So I was surprised to hear those rumors. I actually called his office to see if I could find out if there was any truth in them. The person I talked to on his staff had not heard anything about that and said he would be surprised if it happened. But, of course, one can never tell. I just can't imagine Dr. Paul endorsing someone who voted for the Patriot Act, since that was a major part of his platform, even though Bob Barr now says that that was the worst vote of his career, and I believe he means that, it still doesn't seem to me that's something that Dr. Paul would do, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Okay. What are your goals if you get nominated and run? What would you be your goals? What would be a success for the Libertarian Party in this campaign?
The reason we run presidential candidates truly are twofold. One, we want to support our state and local candidates. I think we can do a great job at that if we run the right person at the top of the ticket. You just mentioned all those Ron Paul supporters, and I think if we ran someone that had Ron Paul's seal of approval, so to speak, and I think I do since he's been obviously endorsing me for some time, I think we could encourage the Ron Paul supporters to vote for our local and state candidates because they don't have Republicans to vote for. There's very few Ron Paul Republicans. So I think that's a major way in which we could be successful. Now, of course, if Dr. Paul doesn't get the nomination in September and things aren't looking very good there, a lot of the supporters will want to write in Ron Paul's name. Even though I've been supporting Dr. Paul, I probably won't do that because I know from past experience that the vote-ins don't even get counted. The write-ins, I'm sorry, don't even get counted usually, and they certainly won't be announced on television.
That would be an exercise in futility.
One thing the Ron Paul supporters could do, and I just asked them to consider this because everyone's got to make their own decision, is that they could vote Libertarian. Ron has been associated with that label because I think a double-digit percentage for the Libertarian presidential candidate would really make people sit up and take notice, and I think that the Ron Paul supporters could actively claim to have been greatly involved in that. I think it would be a real coup both for Dr. Paul and for the Libertarian Party.
And I think it was it Rasmussen or Zogby ran a poll asking citizens, registered voters, if they voted for a third party. I mean, what percentage they would get? And they threw out Bloomberg's name and Ron Paul's name. And if Ron Paul ran as a third party, this survey actually showed he'd get 15% of the vote.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't surprise me. He has an incredible support base, and that's another thing.
And that's the thing. That's the key. I don't mean to interrupt, but that's the key. I think for us is to convert that support for Ron Paul to the Libertarian Party candidate.
Right, and that's where I have an advantage over other candidates. You know, in the meetup groups, there usually is at least one person who is aware of me and Healing Our World. And so, in a sense, I have instant name recognition throughout the meetup groups, which are still meeting, by the way. And so, you know, I think that if we run the right person at the top of the ticket, we'll bring in those supporters. I also think that talking about Ron Paul's Health Freedom Protection Act is a very good thing because it will really help health care in this country if that's passed. It will change our disease-oriented type system to a more preventative one. I think most people don't recognize that the FDA regulations are driving our medicine and our medical care towards treatment instead of prevention, and that would go a long way to help out.
On that topic, Mary, what's this deal now where the FDA is looking to make it illegal to buy and sell vitamins and supplements and things like that? They want to regulate all this stuff too?
Oh, they've been wanting to regulate it for years, and every time they've proposed it, Congress has been flooded with the most mail on any issue and has backed down. But this process continues. And the reason is that, you know, it's kind of hard for the FDA to be consistent if you've got a two-tiered system, one where you ask the drug manufacturers to pay $1 billion in development costs in 15 years to be able to say what their drug will do, and then on the other hand have supplements which don't have patent protection, so no one will pay $1 billion to develop a claim for them, as we call it, just to say that, you know, something will work for something. So you've got this two-tiered system, and you know, the drug manufacturers are unhappy about it, and the supplement manufacturers are unhappy because both of them are getting hurt by this type of thing. Of course, the real tragedy is American people. We knew folic acid, for example, would prevent birth defects like spina bifida for about 10 years before the FDA really backed off on the folic acid manufacturers telling people this. Even the Center for Disease Control, another government agency, was trying to get every young woman to take folic acid supplements to prevent these tragic birth defects. But the FDA told folic acid manufacturers if they even talked about that, they'd shut them down.
And of course, as Ken mentioned earlier, you know, they have these repercussions of government regulation. And of course, when we make it legal to sell vitamins and supplements, then we'll have them in the back alleys there. And hey, buddy, folic acid right over here, cheap, you know.
Right, right. Well, this is all part of the International Codex. So they're trying to harmonize, as they call it, all the drug regulatory agencies, and they're harmonizing to the highest standard. Which
wonderful.
Means the most regulation.
Yeah,
sure. So we're
what are the main tenets to Dr. Paul's bill?
Well, basically, he says that you can't the FDA cannot. Cannot shut a vitamin manufacturer down or prevent their claims unless the FDA can prove that they are not legitimate. Right now, the burden of proof is on the vitamin manufacturer. And the FDA won't accept their evidence unless they actually go through the whole process. So essentially, they are saying, if you don't pay the $1 billion to develop, we will not let you talk about how effective your vitamins are.
No, that's outrageous, but typical, I guess.
Yes, yes. And I can't tell you, I think from where I'm sitting, I have to tell you, I think that is probably the greatest tragedy in our healthcare system, because we have thrown prevention out the window with that. You know, when I was working at the Upjohn Company and we were treating rats, we had to give them the disease so we could try to cure it, right? Well, the rats are healthy because we've titrated their diet, so they get every vitamin and mineral that they need. The only way we could make them sick was to take their vitamins away. That tells you something.
That's a message I think people need to take to heart.
Absolutely.
If you want to get sick, take your vitamins away.
We're talking with Dr. Mary Ruart, candidate for President of the United States. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. That's 931-1410. Give us a call. We will be back after a few messages.
Hello friends, this is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings needs your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bast, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute, and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its Constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
Hey, welcome back to Freedom Rings with Kenneth John. My name is Val Vetter. I'm your co-host for the day, and on the phone we have Mary Ruart. And we wanted to, what's the phone number again, Ken, for people who want to call and ask Mary a question?
847-931-1410. Now's the time. It's completely open right now, folks.
All right.
So, well, we haven't talked about taxes at all yet, Mary. If elected, what would you do about the taxation system in this country?
Oh, well, I would. It would be... I mean, I would, first of all, of course, I would get rid of the income tax. There's no need for it, and it's really very punishing. And it's one of the reasons our economy is in such bad shape. Whenever government spends, it has to either tax or it has to inflate the currency. Those are the only two ways it can get those funds. And it's doing both, and that needs to stop, because once we get government spending way, way down, we can have the prosperity again that we want to enjoy. In fact, we can have even more. Studies show that countries that cut their taxes become economic miracles. That's what we need here.
Absolutely, and we have to somehow have to pay for the price of a gallon of gas.
Well, and the gas is the same price as it was in terms of gold.
Aha. Uh-huh.
As it was, years ago, probably back down to the 40s or 50s. It's the currency that's being inflated. So when you go to the gas pump and see gas prices rising, what you're really seeing is inflation and government spending.
We cannot emphasize that enough. That's a tough topic for even. I'm an econ major, and it really, you really got to think about that for a while, to let it really sink in. It's not so much the gas prices going up as our monetary system is being so inflated that it's becoming worth less and less.
Absolutely, Ken. Ken probably knows I'm a little bit of a silver freak. So, I mean, if you remember back when you were a kid, for the people who are 40 or over, you probably remember you can get a gallon of gas for a quarter, 28 cents, something like that. And back then, a quarter was made of silver. So you figure, that's a quarter then. Now, as Mary said, in terms of what a gallon of gas costs in terms of gold, a gallon of gas is, $3-4. Of course, now with silver being $20 an ounce, well, there you go. I mean, the thing is, it's not that gas is increases, its money is decreased.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of real things with real value, they're pretty much still working out.
That's right. And the seniors are hurt the most by this because many of them are on fixed incomes. And even if they've saved all their lives, what they're seeing is the value of their money, the buying power of their money, is slashed in half every 8 to 10 years, probably faster now since we've been at war.
Okay, we've got Mike on the line. Hello, Mike.
Morning, everybody. How are you doing today?
Great.
Mayor, I just wanted to know if you ever heard of a gentleman by the name of Tom Cryer. He's an attorney from Shreveport, Louisiana, with 35 years of law experience, and graduated top of his law class. A few years ago, a buddy of his came up and said the federal income tax was a hoax, and he wasn't going to pay. So Tom, being a good guy he was, started doing research because he didn't want his friend going to jail. And the more research he found, the more he found out his friend was right, that the federal income tax is misapplied and does not apply to salaries and wages, but only corporate profit. And last year, the IRS and Department of Justice drove Tom Cryer into a courtroom, and he soundly stomped the snot out of him. And I just didn't know if you heard about that case, because, you know, right now we got an fair tax, an illegal tax, whatever you want to call it, being misapplied to every single American or most Americans, because a lot of us just get our salary or wages and don't have a corporate profit to report as income. So I didn't know if you were aware of that. And
Oh, yes.
Your idea about getting rid of the IRS, but I think you'll have to get rid of about a dozen federal agencies just to make that happen.
Well, yes, I'm aware of that, and yes, I would. There's a lot of government agencies that I would retire, shall we say, if I were president. So, yes, I agree with you. Well, you know, as libertarians, of course, we think that taking from Peter to give to Paul is stealing, and it's still stealing if the government does it. So, you know, I would not want to have any taxation at all if I could help it.
All right, well, I appreciate it, guys. You have a good show.
Mike, thanks for your call. Mentioning getting rid of federal agencies, Mary, I was glad to see Governor Terry Sanford of South Carolina had suggested to Homeland Security Chief, I forget his name. I'm thinking Boris Karloff. That's what he looks like. That, you know, if you know, states don't go with the Real ID Act, they're not going to allow citizens of these states to go into federal buildings, and Sanford says that's just fine. You know, why don't you just, we don't need the income tax anyway. Yeah, I think you need us a lot more than we need you. So why don't you just close those buildings down?
I love that attitude. I love that attitude. And for those who would like to learn more about this type of thing and get more information from my website, where there's a lot of free information, including a link to the free download of my book, Healing Our World, the 1992 version, they can go to my website at VoteMary2008.com.
Okay, hey, Vote hey, Mary.
Mary 2000, VoteMary2008.com.
Very good.
Hey, Mary, we hear a lot of people say, you know, if I were president, I would do this and I would do that. And that speaks to whether libertarians or any other religion. But what I was curious about is, I mean, obviously we have a form of government that says the president is supposed to have limited powers, although that's kind of been going out the window lately. But if you were elected president, or when you're elected president, exactly how will you go? I mean, exactly. But, you know, what will you do within the powers of the president to get us on the right track as quick as possible?
Well, I bring the troops home safely, of course.
Okay.
And naturally, I would cut government spending, probably by cutting regulators. Every regulator destroys about 150 private sector jobs a year. So just by doing that as a start, and that would only be a start, but it would be a start that would really help our economy a lot. People would be able to keep their buying power. We wouldn't have to inflate the currency if we're not spending. They wouldn't have to be taxed if we're not spending. And really, the private sector does most of the jobs of government so much more efficiently that in most cases, it costs us half as much. What a deal.
Sure. So as commander-in-chief, you could definitely bring the troops home, you know, at the stroke of a pen or whatever. And I would think that the president would have, you know, certainly the nation's ear with all these press conferences they can call and actually say something usable and hopefully educate people a little more than they have been lately.
That's right.
Wait, Mary, we're just about at the top of the hour. Thank you very much for being on the show today, and good luck in your campaign. One more time, how can people get involved in your campaign? How can they contact you?
They can go to my website, VoteMary2008.com. That's VoteMary2008.com. And I want to thank your listeners for considering me as the presidential nominee of the Libertarian Party.
Thanks, Mary. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, on to the quotation of the week. This is from John Adams in recognition of HBO's excellent series on John Adams. Liberty cannot be preserved without general knowledge among the people. Let us dare to read, think, speak, and write.
The preceding paid program sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications.